Today is the 28th day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, grateful, as always, deeply grateful to be here with you today as we gather like we do every day. Gather around the global campfire, together in a safe place, and take a step forward in life and in the journey through the scriptures, working our way right now through this really interesting territory called the Book of Judges. And I knew about this book when I was a kid. I grew up as a pastor's son, so I knew the books of the Bible by heart, and I thought this was the, you know, the famous judgment part of the book, part of the Bible, like Judges. This is just, you don't read that book, it's just full of doom and gloom and judgment. That's not how the story goes, though. We've been with the children of Israel all the way from Abraham until they entered the Promised Land. And they have had a prophetic leader, Moses, for starters, and then Joshua. But then there's this in-between time. They've conquered the Promised Land, they live there, and there is no supreme prophetic judge. There is no leader, they have no king. They do what is right in their own eyes. Which is something that the Book of Judges continually tells us. They are doing what is right in their own eyes. And so what we need to understand is, I mean, sometimes doing what is right in our own eyes is right. Like, it's the right thing to do. Sometimes it is evil justified in some sort of way. In fact, often that's what we catch ourselves doing. Evil that we have justified in some way. As we're reading Judges, kind of as a rule of thumb, we can say, this is what it looks like, whether for good or for evil, for people to do what is right in their own eyes. And this is where that road goes. So let's jump in. Judges chapter 8, verse 18 through 9, verse 21. He asked Zeba and Zalmunna, what kind of men did you kill at Tabor? They were like you, they said. Each resembled the son of a king. So he said, they were my brothers, the sons of my mother. As the Lord lives, if you had let them live, I would not kill you. Then he said to Jether, his firstborn, get up and kill them. The youth did not draw his sword, for he was afraid because he was still a youth. Zeba and Zalmunna said, get up and strike us down yourself, for a man is judged by his strength. So Gideon got up, killed Zeba and Zalmunna, and took the crescent ornaments that were on the necks of their camels. Then the Israelites said to Gideon, rule over us, you as well as your sons and your grandsons, for you delivered us from the power of Midian. But Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, and my son will not rule over you. The Lord will rule over you. Then he said to them, let me make a request of you. Everyone give me an earring from his plunder. Now the enemy had gold earrings because they were Ishmaelites. They said, we agree to give them. So they spread out a cloak, and everyone threw an earring from his plunder on it. The weight of the gold earrings he requested was 43 pounds of gold, in addition to the crescent ornaments and ear pendants, the purple garments on the kings of Midian, and the chains on the necks of their camels. Gideon made an ephod from all this and put it in Ophrah, his hometown. Then all Israel prostituted themselves by worshipping it there, and it became a snare to Gideon and to his household. So Midian was subdued before the Israelites, and they were no longer a threat. The land had peace for 40 years during the days of Gideon. Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, son of Joash, went back to live at his house. Gideon had 70 sons, his own offspring, since he had many wives. His concubine, who was in Shechem, also bore him a son, and he named him Abimelech. Then Gideon, son of Joash, died at a good old age and was buried in the tomb of his father Joash in Ophrah of the Abiezerites. When Gideon died, the Israelites turned and prostituted themselves by worshipping the Baals and made Baal-berith their god. The Israelites did not remember the Lord their God who had rescued them from the hand of the enemies around them. They did not show kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, that is, Gideon, for all the good he had done for Israel. Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem and spoke to his uncles and to his mother's whole clan, saying, "Please, speak in the hearing of all the citizens of Shechem. Is it better for you that 70 men, all the sons of Jerubbaal, rule over you, or that one man rule over you? Remember that I am your own flesh and blood." His mother's relatives spoke all these words about him in the hearing of all the citizens of Shechem, and they were favorable to Abimelech, for they said, "He is our brother." So they gave him 70 pieces of silver from the temple at Baal-berith. Abimelech used it to hire worthless and reckless men, and they followed him. He went to his father's house in Ophrah and killed his 70 brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal, on top of a large stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, survived because he hid. Then all the citizens of Shechem and of Beth Millo gathered together and proceeded to make Abimelech king at the Oak of the Pillar in Shechem. When they told Jotham, he climbed to the top of Mount Gerizim, raised his voice, and called to them, "Listen to me, citizens of Shechem, and may God listen to you." The trees decided to anoint a king over themselves. They said to the olive tree, "Reign over us." But the olive tree said to them, "Should I stop giving my oil that people use to honor both God and men and rule over the trees?" Then the trees said to the fig tree, "Come and reign over us." But the fig tree said to them, "Should I stop giving my sweetness and my good fruit and rule over these trees?" Later the trees said to the grapevine, "Come and reign over us." But the grapevine said to them, "Should I stop giving my wine that cheers both God and man and rule over trees?" Finally, all the trees said to the bramble, "Come and reign over us." The bramble said to the trees, "If you really are anointing me as king over you, come and find refuge in my shade. But if not, may fire come out from the bramble and consume the cedars of Lebanon. Now if you have acted faithfully and honestly in making Abimelech king, if you have done well by Jerubbaal and his family, and if you have rewarded him appropriately for what he did, for my father fought for you, risked his life, and rescued you from Midian, and now you have attacked my father's family today, killed his 70 sons on top of a large stone, and made Abimelech the son of his slave woman king over the citizens of Shechem, because he is your brother. So if you have acted faithfully and honestly with Jerubbaal and his house this day, rejoice in Abimelech, and may he also rejoice in you. But if not, may fire come from Abimelech and consume the citizens of Shechem and Beth Millo, and may fire come from the citizens of Shechem and Beth Millo and consume Abimelech." Then Jotham fled, escaping to Beer, and lived there because of his brother Abimelech. Luke 23:44-24:12. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3, because the sun's light failed. The curtain of the sanctuary was split down the middle, and Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." Saying this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what happened, he began to glorify God, saying, "This man really was righteous." All the crowds that had gathered for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, went home striking their chests. But all who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. There was a good and righteous man named Joseph, a member of the Sanhedrin, who had not agreed with their plan and action. He was from Arimathea, a Judean town, and was looking forward to the kingdom of God. He approached Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Taking it down, he wrapped it in fine linen and placed it in a tomb cut into the rock, where no one had ever been placed. It was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed along and observed the tomb and how his body was placed. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes, and they rested on the Sabbath, according to the commandment. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in, but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'It is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day.'" And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen cloths. So he went away, amazed at what had happened. Psalm 99. The King is holy. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awe-inspiring name. He is holy. The mighty King loves justice. You have established fairness. You have administered justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow in worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those calling on his name. They called to the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them in a pillar of cloud. They kept his decrees and the statutes he gave them. Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their sinful actions. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow in worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Proverbs 14, 9 and 10. fools mock at making reparation, but there is goodwill among the upright. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no outsider shares in its joy. Okay, so it's a pretty, like, morbid story. The Judge Gideon and the power and might of God miraculously, which brings peace for 40 years. And then Gideon dies, and his entire family is wiped out by one son, so that he can take over and be king. So after the defeat of Midian, the Israelites are attempting to formalize Gideon's leadership, because clearly he set them free, anointed of God. But he completely refuses. He doesn't want to be their king. He doesn't want to be their ruler. But he does have significant influence as a judge at this point from what happened. So the final 40 years of his life, he was a judge, and peace and victory were created. Oh man, true to form though, the Israelites did not honor all that God had done among them. So I quote from the book of Judges, as soon as Gideon died, the Israelites prostituted themselves by worshiping the images of Baal, making Baal-berith their god. They forgot the Lord their God, who had rescued them from all their enemies surrounding them. Nor did they show any loyalty to the family of Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, despite all the good he had done for Israel. So Gideon has 70 sons. Wow. Okay, that's impressive. He has 70 sons. Once he dies, his son Abimelech, who's from Shechem, son of a concubine, steps into the leadership vacuum, asking, like, because he's from a city, asking the citizens of Shechem whether they want to be ruled by, like, all 70 of Gideon's sons, or just him, because he's their brother. And they choose him. So he instigates this mass murder of all of his brothers, and only the youngest one escapes. And so here we are now. All of a sudden, 40 years of peace are ended in absolute chaos. Gosh. If that did not imitate my own life at times, like if that, you know, like if this doesn't mimic our own stories, it would be so pathetic, but it does. And man, there's no shortage of injustice in the Gospel of Luke today. Jesus' heartbroken followers are watching him die in front of their eyes. And then there's some kindness of an influential member of the Sanhedrin. Jesus' body is given and placed in a tomb. Much more favorable than just leaving him hanging from the cross through the Sabbath and through the Passover, and then throwing his body in the Hinnom Valley, where the trash and the criminals' remains were disposed of. Likely where the criminals that hung beside him would be going. But before anybody could, like, arrange for any real proper care for this body, the Sabbath is beginning, so no one following the Jewish tradition could even touch this body, and much less do any work of caring for it until the Sabbath is over. So Jesus is in this tomb, and he would lay lifeless, and he would, and his body is going to become cold and stiff. And those who are loyal to him, these women, are just waiting for Sabbath to end so that they can go to his body and care for it. So once the Sabbath ended, the women, they're running to the tomb to properly honor him, but they get there, and rather than applying spices and ointments and, like, you know, washing his body and preparing it for burial and caring for someone that they love, they have this bizarre encounter that is going to change their lives and the world forever. The whole human story, including our story. So there's these people there in dazzling robes. Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Let's meditate on that. Obviously, the Easter story, and you know, we're just a couple weeks out from that, so it's still kind of echoing in our minds, and we should be rejoicing in this story, but maybe we take these words from the angelic visitors and apply them to our own lives. Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? Holy Spirit, we invite you into that true aspect of our lives, where we are searching in old, worn, dead, dry, barren places for life that is nothing more than fantasy and cardboard. Why are we looking among the dead for you who are alive and in the land of the living? Lead us away from our slumber. Lead us away from our march toward death. Lead us into all truth. Lead us into abundant life, eternal life. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base, and these are all brand new. The brand new home base for Daily Audio Bible has been deployed yesterday. So today, like as we're moving through the paces today, this is kind of one of the big tests. It was fun watching, you know, people move over, and it was one of those things that it's been nearly 5 years in development, and it's been a journey. And so to get to this place where everything's set, and you know, everybody holds their breath and counts to three and throws up a prayer, God help us and Jesus be with us, and bam. But everything has gone good, and I really, really want to congratulate the team for that thus far into the transition, and I am grateful. So today, lots and lots and lots of stuff are going to happen as, well, migration continues. But we're kind of moved in now. So the Daily Audio Bible shop, brand new. All brand new. Brand new things in the Daily Audio Bible shop. A brand new store that we built. And then in the app, like I said last week, a couple times, there's brand new sections. There's a community section. When you click that community section, there's a number of different engagement ways, like testimonials that are coming in, and the watch section, where you can watch different things to take you deeper into the scriptures. That's a new infrastructure for the prayer wall. It's a lot more immediate for us to kind of monitor and moderate, and that has been a place that has been on and never off for so long here. Because I just wanted a place that anybody could go. Like, you know, I mean, there are places like that, but in our community, no one has to just be alone. Like, I know what it's like to just be like in the middle of the night and mind spinning and heart crumbling, and like, you just, what is happening and nowhere to go. And so the prayer wall is kind of built for that, because sometimes even in just typing it, like, this is what's going on, and this, somebody pray for me. That, even that act right there is regulating. So we're excited about that. And obviously the prayer and encouragement hotline, that's always been, but it's completely redesigned, but it's always been there. There's a music section now where you can easily get to the music of the Daily Audio Bible. And check out the community section. It's a different kind of place. And it's going to grow from here. And I think that's all I'll say today. Other than I'm just kind of standing back and watching this all go down. It's been so long. And there were times that I thought, man, I don't think we're going to get there. So I'm grateful. Looking forward to your feedback. I've really, really enjoyed it so far. And yeah, here we are. Brand new, shiny, sparkly home. As we prepare to go into a brand new, shiny, sparkly new month. All things new. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if what's happening here in this place brings life and encouragement to you, thank you for your partnership. This place is here because we're here. We're all in this together. If we weren't, there'd be nothing here. There'd be no one. And so to be here for this long in this community, day by day, step by step, is a beautiful, beautiful thing that I find it hard for me to believe that God would let me do anything like this, but I'm grateful. And I'm grateful that we can do this together. And if what's happening here brings life, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good evening, DAB. This is Elva from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yes, I just got word from my family in southern Indiana, and they said that my older brother, who just came through knee replacement surgery, said that he was coming back from physical therapy. And I don't know what happened, but he's in the ambulance going to Bloomington, Indiana from Paoli, Indiana. And they said it was his heart. So just pray earnestly. I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in Heaven, open our eyes and hearts to anyone we need to forgive today. Help us by your Holy Spirit to extend grace just as Christ has forgiven us. We choose to release any bitterness or resentment, knowing that true freedom comes through forgiveness. Thank you for the amazing promise of your word, that whatever we ask for in prayer, if we believe that we have received it, it will be ours. We believe we have the strength to forgive through you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.
Hello, this is Laurie from Central Ohio, and I'm in a world filled with technology that is great when it works. I wanted to take a moment and call in and pray for those working behind the scenes on the new app, the final steps, and pray against the devil using any little thing that goes wrong to keep us from getting into God's word. Dear Jesus, we lift up those working on the brand new app. They have spent hours upon hours tweaking and programming and preparing a way for your word to get into the lives of so many. I just ask that you be with them on these final days, and may the new release go without hitch in your mighty name.
Good afternoon, my DAB family. This is Northeast Kneebender, and it is April 25th, Saturday, and I am praying for Rebecca as today is her moving day. So hopefully we'll hear from her soon. Just wanted to let her know that I am praying for her and remembering her. I also wanted to let you all know that I have been hearing all your prayer requests every day on DABC, DAB, and the prayer and encouragement line, and I am standing in the gap for all your needs. I would like to add a prayer request for my son, and he needs help. He has been working in IT, and he has a job that it doesn't pay him well, and they're just not doing the right thing. And I'm praying because they are closing down a lot of, it's a nonprofit, they're closing a lot of buildings and stuff, and so I pray that his job would be protected, or that the Lord would open a better paying job for him. And I know there's a lot of us that need this request, that are also asking for the Lord to open doors. So know that I am praying, and I covet your prayers from my own son, and know that I am here in the background. I love you, family. Northeast Kneebender, God bless you.
Every time I think I got God all figured out, he lets me know that his ways are not my ways, and that his ways are higher above my ways than the heavens are above the earth. So I'm learning to rejoice, even in the bad times, and to celebrate in the resulting brokenness. Because God is truly a strong deliverer and the only high tower in the time of trouble. Selah. He uproots those who in the wisdom of their own eyes have sought their own counsel and have come to the conclusion that their stance was quite secure. And in many ways it truly is. But the rocks can be very slippery, and God lets you know to beware when you think you're standing, lest you fall. Because God humbles the proud. But know ye this, in due time he will exalt those who are beat down. So continue to do right, and know eventually in God's time you will be exalted and receive a treasure that is priceless beyond measure. Because you are and always will be esteemed of great worth by my Lord. Selah. Once again, Brian and the Harden family, thank you for this wonderful podcast, for God's Holy Spirit to flow. Keep it flowing, y'all. All right. Bye-bye.
Hi, family. This is Lonnie from Idaho. My prayer nickname is Saved But Broken. I'm calling in today because I'm facing some serious health battles, and I would truly appreciate your prayers. Doctors believe I have a rare brain condition called Mayo disease, where the major arteries in my brain become narrowed or blocked. In my case, the arteries supplying the right side of my brain are essentially gone. My brain is now relying on very small, fragile blood vessels to keep the blood flowing. These vessels weren't designed to handle that kind of pressure, which puts me at risk for another stroke or even a brain bleed. On top of that, I have a blood clotting disorder called Factor V Leiden, which causes my body to form clots more easily, and also have type 2 diabetes, which adds even more risk and complicates everything. By the grace of God, I've already survived 2 strokes, but lately I've been in and out of the hospitals and facing some really hard realities. I asked my neurologist what my chances of survival are, and she very compassionately simply told me, go live your best life and do whatever makes you happy. This hit me hard. The truth is, my soul has had his bags packed for a long time, because I know exactly where I'll spend eternity. I know Jesus saved me. But if I'm being honest, I don't want to leave my wife of 35 years. She is my best friend, and I love her deeply. And I've told God many times I don't think heaven would feel complete without her being there. So I'm asking you to all please pray for healing, protection over my brain, peace for my family, and if God wills it, more time. Thank you, family. This is Lonnie from Idaho, saved but broken.